Welcome to the Speed Trap Podcast. I'm Betsy.
And I'm Sophie. Join us weekly to stay updated on the latest racing news.
And to hear our thoughts and opinions on each topic.
And today we're talking about the Miami Grand Prix.
In Sector 1, we explain why Miami didn't meet our expectations, the safety issues with the circuit, and the highs and lows of qualifying.
So let's jump in. I think we have a lot to talk about. I know that I have, just start out, a lot of opinions on this whole situation of a GP, a brand new track that also brought us a very brand new experience.
A very brand new experience. Like, a very, what felt fabricated experience.
Yeah, no, it felt very artificial to me, mm-hmm. and I had a lot of issues with it. I thought a lot of it was pretty stupid, to be candid. I don't need mermaids in Miami. I don't need a fake marina.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it wasn't even like they just built a marina and filled it with actual water, like somebody would. Like, they literally, there was like 5 inches of water. Like, that was it.
It wasn't even water. It was fake.
Like, it was fake.
It was like plastic.
Yeah. It was just like a plastic tub.
I feel like that's really a metaphor for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
In a way.
Just, yeah.
It was like disturbingly commercialized, you know? It was like, yeah. This was F1 finally breaking into America type of thing. So they felt like they had to go extremely all out to make it appear as attractive as possible to an American audience. And, you know, speaking as people who have both watched American sporting events, you know, you're American, so you've been watching them longer than me, but like the Super Bowl, for example, it feels like they were trying to go for like a Super Bowl type of vibe.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the theme for this one was football, kind of weirdly.
Yeah, like the NFL helmets on the podium. That was
weird. That was odd. I feel like a lot of it was like supposed to be cool and like bringing in American culture. I don't know if question mark. But I think it was just kind of obnoxious.
It did feel obnoxious. It did. But maybe it's because we're not used to seeing it hand-in-hand with Formula One that it felt neat that way. Because I feel like with any other sport, or at least American sport, this would be like the normal experience. You know?
I don't know, though. Like,
maybe even specifically football. Because like, I'm even thinking like NBA finals and stuff. Sure, they have like performances, but it's never as extravagant as like
They'll have performances, like they'll have like a halftime show like in football that like everyone watches, like that's a thing that everyone knows about and it's extravagant, but it's just halftime and then it's done and you don't have anything else going on and you don't have mermaids in the middle of your field, you know? It's like a very weird thing. Nobody gets a police escort to the podium. Like,
that was so funny. I was like, are they really trying to go Miami Vice right now? Like, what? Like, they're trying to pull out every single, like, not stereotype, but like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I do.
What, like, I think, what would you think of when you think of Miami? I'll say for one thing, I don't think of mermaids.
That was a weird choice. I don't think mermaids either. I feel like, I don't know what they were trying to do fully. I mean, I think that they were trying to, like, in a way, represent Miami, and I think that they massively failed in that way.
Yeah, like you were saying before we recorded, it was like they only represented the wealthy, sporting, white side of Miami.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if everyone knows, I feel like a good chunk of people know that Miami has, like, a very rich history with Cuba in particular.
Yeah.
And there is a very large Hispanic and Latino population. And culture culturally, like, that's a huge part of Miami. And I think it's really frustrating and stupid and very typical, I guess, of this sport to basically whitewash the city.
It also felt quite tone deaf considering, like, what's happening politically right now, especially in Florida, with, like, the don't say gay bill and everything Ron DeSantis is doing. And Florida are probably going to be pushing bills through after the Roe decision of the Supreme Court. And, like, it's just, like, everything's being ignored.
Yeah.
Which is Formula One's MO, to be honest, when it comes to anything.
No, it is. That way.
But it was, like...
It was such a flamboyant display of nothing that
it was actually good. It was a farce. Like, it felt really weird, especially as, and this might just be like completely in my own head, but as a, like, a woman watching it after the news in America, and then to have nothing. It was just like, we're in America, we're breaking into America, and like, America's going to absolute garbage right now. And like, there was no... It was like, we're in our own little bubble, there's nothing going on. But it was like, obviously this is Formula One, and this is what you should expect from coverage of Formula One and the event as a whole, because it's all about them and not about the others.
Which I think
it saddens me a little bit from the one that, like, as a sport that travels the world, that it does so in a way that completely ignores a lot of the cultures of the countries that they visit.
100%.
And it's like, I feel like it's such a disservice.
It is.
The sport in a way, so.
It is. I think what they were trying to go for in Miami, in a way, was sort of the same situation or vibe, I guess, to the race in Texas, because Texas automatically comes with this, like, southern influence on it, you know, like, cowboy hats, cowboy boots, like, the drivers and the crowd can kind of lean into that, and that just makes sense. But Miami, I feel like the only kind of culture that Miami actually has is going to be like Latino and Hispanic, right? Low-key, like, there's no culture in rich white people, so
it's like that, or sports, or retirement communities, or college students going drunk.
Right. So you get football players and basketball players, which is great. Like, no problem with that whatsoever.
It's also cool to see, like, athletes from other sports coming in and recognizing Formula One as an equal.
For sure. No, absolutely. I just feel like they were trying to be so glamorous.
Yeah.
And it just was not the time to do it. Like, if you're gonna, like, the glamour for America, that's gonna be in Vegas. Like, that should be the glamorous thing with all the celebrities and all the craziness.
Well, like, they were wanting to do a race in Jersey, but I think that was really a substitute for New York, right? They probably would be doing it on the Hudson. Like, some sort of way to have New York in the background and skyline. That's glamorous for a lot of people. That's very cool. LA would have been a cool one, but Vegas is super close to LA, so that's where all the celebrities would come from anyway. So and Vegas itself is like, it's a gem in the desert. It's like what they like to call the Abu Dhabi race, right? Like,
I'm in support of Vegas. I think it will be cool.
Vegas is cool.
I think,
and it makes sense too, because it's already such a commercialized city.
Yeah,
that it's perfect for Formula One. But Miami feels forced.
Forced. Yeah, I thought so too. It just felt very, I don't know, like, as an American.
Yeah, give us your perspective as an actual American.
I mean, as an actual American.
As a red-blooded American.
Like, I was just very disappointed, and it kind of made me feel ashamed a little bit, because that's not what the sport is. I mean, okay, yeah, like, honestly, it is a little bit what the sport is, but they made it in a big way, called out to, like, the sport's issues of being kind of, like, kitschy and kind of stupid.
What didn't help, too, was the quality of the track. So it was So should we get into that aspect of the weekend, I guess?
Yeah, I think I'm probably done.
So,
like, talking, like, trash talking.
No, we can keep going, but just doing it via a different aspect. So,
yeah,
the location of the track was a big reason as to why I think it didn't work. And I think you agreed with me. Like, sure, it was next to the Hard Rock Stadium that hosted the Super Bowl, but when you're watching the Super Bowl, you're inside the stadium. You're not looking at the outside of the stadium that is basically highways and freeways and overpasses in a car park or a parking lot or however you want to phrase it. But it just felt like this is, people roast Formula E for racing in car parks, but they're not really most of the time. This felt like we were actually racing in the car park. Like,
I mean, we were, but also, I mean, I don't know.
Like, I think if it was, because it was in a car park, it could have been anything. The circuit could have been anything. But what it ended up being was just not good at all.
Not good. And I just didn't like that we were racing under and over overpasses on the highway. And
it was very America. Like, as a European, something that, like, you make fun of America for a lot is not having walkable cities. Like, you have to own a vehicle to get anywhere efficiently in America. Most of the time, apart from places like New York, where there's public transport, efficient public transport.
Chicago.
In Chicago, which is a huge reason as to why I picked Chicago for uni, is because it was accessible as somebody who doesn't drive. But Europe, it's like, if anything is within like 30 minutes of walking, you walk it. Like, you don't need to drive. And like, but in America, it's like, it's 10 minutes down the road, let's take the car. So that was, that felt like a huge, like, oh, we're that type of country, like, very in your face that way. And it just wasn't an attractive location at all. Like,
it was not pretty. And like, in Miami,
but that was it.
Like, yeah, like in Miami, like, one of the other things that you, I would assume, automatically think about it is that it's going to be beautiful on the water. You're going to see the ocean, you know,
real boats and real water.
Real boats and real water. It's not a lot to ask for. Like, beautiful beaches, but it was so completely artificial. And I think if you're going to race in that specific location, like around the stadium area in a parking lot, you need to be able to drive through this stadium.
That would be so cool. But, like, it just wasn't safe. There's no accessible points that were safe enough. But, like, we were saying to each other, cut a hole in the stadium. If you're hoping to make this, like, a permanent fixture in your city.
Which they are.
And this is where you're planning to host it. You can adapt the venue for whatever's happening. But they're not doing that, which is, I guess it was the first year and it was a trial, right? But
yeah. I guess I'm curious to hear what you think as a non-American about what you think of Miami in general and just that perspective, because not so much like the race in particular, but just in general about Miami as a whole.
Well, a lot of what you've already said, right? Like, I know there's a huge connection to Cuban culture there. I know that it's a party city, it's a destination city, the beaches are what people go for. There's a huge, like, nightlife scene there. But I'm, and Miami is really like the college town, I would think. I don't know, but it feels like it is. And obviously there's like the Miami Heat and the Dolphins, like the big pillar of Miami. So I know that aspect of Miami. But apart from that, I don't know in depth. I think a pit bull, we were talking about earlier on the show. I was like, why didn't they have pit bull at the opening ceremony? He's Mr. Miami. That's like his whole thing. That would have been so cool. But so, you know, Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide, bring it in, you know? Like, that's his whole thing. But anyway, I just think I have a view about like a stereotype version of Miami.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to hear, because there are no drivers on the grid who are American. So I was kind of curious about, like, what their view of America or not America, but Miami specifically might look like.
Well, it was Lewis that said he wanted a race in Miami, right?
I mean, yeah, but like, and I don't think you don't want a race in Miami. Like, I don't think that's the point. Like, I'm super down for a race in Miami. I just think that they did it poorly. Yeah.
Oh, another thing I think of, there's a, quite a big tennis culture in Miami. So there you go. That's all. But the track, right, so the quality of the track, that was an issue, for one thing, because the drivers specifically were complaining about the texture of the asphalt being terrible for racing. Like, yeah. Some, not drivers, but in the media, they were saying it's probably similar to Jeddah, which is Saudi Arabia. Which is a completely new circuit, right? So right. Obviously it's new asphalt, similar to here, and they have to relay the asphalt at various times. I think turn 17 was relayed twice, once for the inside and one for the outside line of the, yeah. of the circuit. So that was a problem, and drivers were complaining about it because it wasn't offering enough grip if you went off the racing line, and so they weren't confident. They were saying they wouldn't be confident to do that for fear of crashing, because it's a street circuit, so it's quite narrow. So they were suggesting the race would be a poor race because there would be no overtaking, which didn't end up being true, but it still felt like there was no overtaking for this, but that's getting ahead of us, ourselves. But, yeah. So that was one thing. And then another thing we had was in FP2, Carlos had a big crash, which was at turn 17 where they had, I believe it, that was where they had resurfaced the track. Yeah. And after his crash, he said he spoke to the FIA. I think this was in the driver's briefing, actually, after FP2. Him and a bunch of other drivers were like backing him, saying, we need to put a tech pro barrier in there, which, to explain what tech pro is, it's just, it's almost like foam, but not foam, because that would be crazy. It's like a high tech foam barrier, basically. And so Carlos, we need to put tech pro in there because I hit that wall, I had a 47G impact, and it's concrete. Like, that's not safe. And I felt the impact in my body. I still do. That's not okay. We need to put tech pro in there. And the FIA were like, nah. And then the next day in FP3, Esteban crashed in almost exactly the same way, but his shunt was like 51 Gs. It was harder. And again, Esteban was like, please, we need to protect them. Like, the two drivers have both experienced the same shunt at almost similar magnitude to G-force, and it was painful. And we're suggesting to you, as the people that require the safety, that you increase it. And the FIA again said no. And it was like, where's the FIA's priorities? Because this whole weekend, there was still talk of the jewelry ban and the underwear ban when there's two drivers that have been in what could have been a more serious incident.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, the FIA are like, we're going to start scrutinizing drivers and not letting them out of the pit lane if they wear jewelry. You know, it's like, what is going on?
In ridiculous.
The, it's crazy. But
yeah, and so talk about our, so let's just jump to that then for a second. Gentlemen.
Yeah,
let's just do it.
Go ahead.
Speaking of those two incidents, our favorite protesters of the little things and the big things, Sebastian Vettel and Lewis Hamilton. Lewis showed up to the press conference with three watches. I think rings on every finger. What else?
So many necklaces.
Oh, yeah. So many chains.
All of his earrings in.
Yeah.
Everything. Sunglasses. All of it. He was like, well, you're banning jewelry? How about this? Three watches? I got three different time zones. What do you want to know? Tell me. God. And then Seb had, he wore his boxers over his real suit and ran about the pit lane. At first I was like, what's going on? What's he doing? And then I remembered the underwear back. I was like, oh, he's high level thinking here.
Yes, it's really funny.
Like, they're such trolls, but I love it.
I know. Yeah. I know.
And then Pierre spoke up.
That's what you were going to say.
Sorry to cut you off. Pierre spoke up and he was like, I have religious items that I wear. Like, I'm sure he wears a cross necklace, right?
Yeah.
What you call that? A crucifix necklace? What do you call it? I'm not religious. I don't know. Just a cross. Yeah, something. A Christian cross. That, what Jesus was nailed
Catholic,
to.
Catholic.
He wears one of them around his neck every race. And I remember before the start of each race, I think he does like the
Hail Mary thing, yeah.
And then kisses his necklace. Or whatever. Sometimes you like whatever, you know what I mean. But
yeah.
And he vocally spoke, I'm like, I don't feel comfortable racing without wearing it because I feel like it protects me, you know? And so that's what I was saying. I think I said that a couple of episodes ago when we were talking about it. I was like, I was thinking about when that ban came up. Some drivers have like religious beliefs and or could have had a religious item. And then Pierre came out and said it this week. And I was like, there you go. So it's not just Lewis, but it does still feel very targeted at Lewis.
Yeah, it does.
And they've given him like a medical exemption for Spain. And then after Spain, I think there's going to start being like the scrutiny. The medical exemption was because he's got some piercings that are like welded that he can't take.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, like his
nose is one, I think.
And then I think like some of his on his ear,
like his cartilage piercings.
Yeah, those are like welded.
Yeah, like my nose ring. I can't take my nose ring out. Well, I can, but it would be like complicated to do it. So I feel, but I'd be the same way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder too if. We brought this up before, like, if there were women driving, how much of an uproar would be about targeting women? Because I have no doubt there'd probably be earrings or maybe a necklace or something. Like you said, Jamie Chadwick wears earrings, right?
Yeah.
And then I was saying the Alcabasi sisters definitely have their noses pierced, so. Or at least Amber does. I don't know about Amber, but Amber does.
Yeah, I can't remember.
So,
but and the funny thing is, like, I remember, I can't remember actually which one it was. I think, wait, which one's the older one? Amnal.
Yeah, Amnal.
She did like a jewelry, like, ad, oh, which is kind of funny.
Sure, the campaign. Jewelry company. Yeah.
Like, I like very special.
I could so see Lewis doing that out of like protest. Yeah. Call up his friendly Cartier designer friend, like, hey, do you want me to model for you?
Yeah, no, I have like a very special necklace that I wear constantly. I never take it off.
I never take this necklace off, ever.
Yeah, ever.
Ever. Look at us in solidarity with Lewis.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess if I was driving, would I be concerned and not want to wear it because I wouldn't want to lose it? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they would probably give it to their personal trainer.
But I also don't trust not having it on me.
Yeah, I don't either.
So I've been thinking a lot about taking it off before I go play beach volleyball because I know if that fell in the sand, I would never find it. So it's kind of a conundrum.
That's true. I was a bit worried about wearing it to airports, but it never sets off the detector. So, all good. All good.
All good.
Should we talk about qualifying? Because we have been going for 25 minutes and haven't said a word about it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, Esteban crashed in FP3, like we just said, same thing as Carlos. So, he was out of qualifying, didn't even start qualifying. Which, also, just briefly to say, I just read my notes, forgot to say, Michelle Obama was there. Like, what?
Michelle,
of all the races she picked, she went, Miami.
And she was in the Mercedes garage. So.
Yeah, with Lewis.
I mean, part of me was like, wait, why? Try to figure out why, you know. I was like, is it because Mercedes is cool? And Mercedes is Mercedes, and we get good vibes from Mercedes most of the time. Instead of, like, Red Bull, which we might not get as good of vibes from. I'm trying to be more like neutral, but
well, one of Lewis's friends got into controversy. Carly Kloss this weekend for standing in front of Max's car on the grid and putting her thumbs down and posting it on her Instagram.
That's a bit much.
I don't think it's that bad. I think people like took it out of proportion. Like, I think it was maybe a little bit disrespectful to like maybe the engineers or whatever, but like. People were like, oh my god, it's like a hate crime on Max. So I was like, calm down.
Okay, that's not that much. I mean, I don't know. That's just, it's kind of obnoxious in general. Like, maybe just don't do that.
Like, maybe just stand in front of Lewis's car with your thumbs up.
Yeah, maybe just don't associate with them.
Also, you're married to Jared Kushner or something, isn't she? Like,
Carly Claus?
Yeah. Isn't she?
Is it her?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't really know.
Or she's married to his brother. That's what it is. She's married to Jared Kushner's brother. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Where's, like, girl, who are you associating with? The Kushners or Lewis? Because they're definitely not in the same line of moral thinking, you know?
Anyway, what I landed on as far as why I suspect that Michelle Obama was in Mercedes' garage was to support Lewis as a person of color in the sport.
I think so. I think they're probably just friendly too.
Probably. I mean, Lewis is everywhere. Like, that man is constantly doing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big time. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, he didn't really do much in qualifying, unfortunately, for having Michelle Obama.
Yeah. I mean, it was a better qualifying for him than we have seen, particularly from last week. Yeah. Hard to not. What am I saying? Okay. Hard to be worse than last week.
Or it's hard to be worse than Saudi, when he was like 15 or something. He didn't get, or didn't he like not get out of Q1 in Saudi?
No, he like barely did. Everyone like freaked out. We're like, oh my god.
He qualified like 15 or something. Right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something still like but really.
This week, going to Q3, so that's something. Huh?
Hey.
Wow. George didn't.
George is a little bit of what's going on with that man?
He sometimes is like phenomenal in qualifying, and like this week just was not. But I think it was like tire issues. Like, a lot of people were having tire warm up issues because they didn't want to push too hard on their outlap and ruin their tires for their fast lap, so they weren't warming them up enough. Like, that's what happened with Alex. Like, for this whole weekend, throughout three practices, Alex Albu was like phenomenally quick and was in like top 10, top 5 at some point, and then all of a sudden qualifying, he's out in Q1, and everyone was like, what? But apparently it's going to get his tire warm up in his outlet, which was very unfortunate.
Yeah, and I think it's always tough when you have a track, A, that's brand new, and so the tarmac is like not great at all, pretty bad. And not like worn in at all, not experienced. And then also, obviously, because of Miami is already a very warm climate, the track is automatically twice as hot as that. And so it's hard to get like the right warm up for your tires while the track is already that hot. Like, it just, it's one of those situations where it's
a little bit more difficult. I think it was Seb. Said it felt like Malaysia in terms of it.
Well, it's the humidity too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking like Singapore was probably the most similar on the calendar thing.
Well, I think it's a little bit different though with Singapore because it's a night race. So you don't have that radiating sun.
That's also true.
Coming off.
That's also true.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Both very similar climates though, in like rain and winds as well. But what else happened in qualifying? Kevin was out in Q1. That was an interesting thing because he'd been doing so well.
Yeah, it was weird. And then, I don't know. It was an odd qualifying, I think, because a lot of the drivers that we had seen doing really well kind of didn't do as well. And it was like a little bit of a surprise. And then some of the drivers who were doing really pretty poorly were suddenly doing a little bit better.
Yeah.
In a way, it was kind of fun. Oh, unfortunately, Esteban wasn't able to
said that at the start.
Participate. Did you? Okay, sorry.
Don't worry.
And it was in my head, and I just said it.
I said it before we got into the
Either way, that was sad for
Yes. For Alpine too. Fernando wasn't great this weekend, I have to say.
No.
But also, he did say that Carlos impeded him in qualifying. Nothing was really done about it. There was no further investigation with it. So yeah, it seems like maybe it was just incidental, perhaps. I don't know. But Fernando was outed in Q2. So Alpine not having a great weekend so far. Aston Martin found pace.
That's like the weird thing I was just saying is like a lot of the teams that were struggling so hard suddenly were able to get a little something.
Aston Martin was the most surprising for me.
Yeah, Lance.
Lance.
I was like, wait, what? There's an Aston Martin up there?
Doesn't even have a point this season. He's like, like Seb was doing pretty well as well, I have to say. But Lance was more surprising, I think.
Yeah. Like out of nowhere, honestly. But I'm happy because I'm a large supporter of Lance because he gets a lot of hate and I don't want that. He deserves to be in the sport, I think. But
he needs to start showing that more this year, I have to say. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but something is
you have to. You do.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think it is. That crash back in Turkey. I mean, I don't know why, but that's when everything went downhill.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just the pressure from his dad running his entire life.
Could be. It could be completely. inconsequential, but yeah.
What was cool about Q2 though is that like the bottom half of the top 10 all could have been because P11 through 13 were all split by 1/100th of a second. Like,
yes,
it was all very close. So, you know, some people got lucky. Q3 was pretty typical, I think. Although I have to say, Valtteri again, very impressive. P5. Yeah. Out qualifying both Mercedes cars.
I know. Again. I was like, oh god, it's so painful. It's so painful.
I think it's so funny. Like, I hate it for Melissa George, but it's so funny. Like Toto has to be like, oh my god. Oh my god. Like, on the inside, it's like, maybe he's secretly happy for that. Maybe he's like, see, I wanted to give you this when you left.
I know. Like, it's good. Like, I'm happy. I'm very happy for him. But it's just, like, the irony of it is painful.
It's painful. Also, the gap between him and Guanyu is, like, pretty big. I think Guanyu maybe had issues in Q1.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's qualifying P17 and Valtteri is P5. Like,
what? I mean, this is Guanyu's fifth race?
Yeah. He started off really well in his first race, and then it was sort of like Yuki's pattern, right? Where he scored points in his first race, and then so far afterwards he's had no luck or hasn't stepped up as much as Michigan. But I believe in Guanyu still.
Oh, I do too.
Like, watching him in F2 frequently, like, he has the ability, so I don't doubt him. He's just finding his feet. Worried about Mick, though. Although this, so far, probably was his best weekend, apart from the end. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not super worried about Mick. He's like a new little baby.
This is his second year though, and he's now finally up against someone with experience rather than a fellow rookie. So, and Kevin so far has been pretty good. So, apart from this weekend, I don't know what happened to Kevin.
True.
But, this is something. I just read in my notes. He had a broken radio for it qualifying. So, that might have been an issue for him.
True.
Oh, and Daniel. Here's another thing. People keep bringing up the gap between Lando and Daniel. Daniel was going pretty well, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. And it's like, he got out, sent out really late in his garage, and people were like, what are you doing? Apparently, they had an issue firing up his car when he was trying to get out, so it took them forever to do it, and that's why he never got enough time to set a good lap. So that's why he was so far behind Lando, according to him.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more about that in the race, shall we? Because...
Yes.
How long is Daniel's contract? Is it up at the end of the year?
No, 2023.
Interesting.
Don't say it like that.
Hey. No,
that was the topic of discussion, though. Keep bringing it up. Ted was talking about that, actually. Saying Daniel's safe until at least 2023.
I don't know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I hope so. Like, I still think he's got it in him. I don't know what's going on, but I don't... I haven't stopped believing in him. He's a race winner. I mean, he won against Max. So, let's see. I'll never forget Monica. But anyway,
In Sector 2, we discuss the impressive recovery performances from several drivers, an unusual battle between the Mercedes, and a few heartbreaking DNFs.
So speaking of Daniel, actually, this race actually was the race that made him equally the most experienced Australian F1 driver with Mark Webber. So that was an achievement for him this weekend, if nothing else. So good for him. Doing that. That was so rude the way I said that. But no, that's a very cool thing to be. The most experienced Australian racing driver. Very cool.
Yeah.
Another thing. It was a thunderstorm the night before the race, and it essentially wiped all the rubber that was laid down on the track away, aka all the grip. So that's another problem. And there were short showers, like, intermittently before the race as well, which didn't help. And then also, final note before we get into it, both Aston Martins started from the pit lane because of such an odd issue. So in climates like Miami, they tend to refrigerate fuel so it doesn't overheat and become, you know, an issue. But Aston Martin went the opposite way. They refrigerated it too well, and it got too cold, so which is illegal because you're allowed to cool your fuel, but you can't go below a certain temperature because the colder your fuel is, the more horsepower you can get out of it, basically, is what I've picked up on from what people were saying. Don't quote me on it. So they didn't want to risk getting disqualified. And so they started from the pit lane after, because you have to cool that fuel down, or to heat warm up, you have to take all of it out of the car and put it all back in. And so they wouldn't have made it to the grid in time, and they didn't want to incur a penalty either. So they were like, we'll just start from the pit lane. So that's what they did. So Pro Lance doing his best qualifying of the year so far. And
I mean, he got a point in the race.
Did he? Oh, I guess
He finished P10, so he got...
He started one. P10, so there you go.
I mean, pretty good recovery.
Sure.
In LA. And speaking of recoveries, I mean, great job to Esteban.
Oh my god. That totally didn't get spoken about the whole weekend.
I know.
What? Like, last to eighth? Go off, King. Like,
right?
Why is no one talking? He should have been driver of the day. Max, you've had enough drivers of the day. Like,
yeah, what did you do? You passed Charles once.
Once. Yeah, you overtook in the beginning and then saved really for the whole thing. So, good for you. No. But Esteban, amazing. Amazing. And, like, wasn't filmed, like, the entire race. Like, mega race from him.
I mean, coverage, yeah, I would say the coverage was pretty bad then.
The coverage was very poor this entire race, I think.
I just think the whole thing was, like, not happening. Nah, I was just,
It wasn't it. It ain't it. The start, though, speaking of Max overtaking both Ferraris. Well, he overtook Carlos at the beginning, and then...
Which made me mad. You want to know what made me mad? Oh,
we were so angry. We were texting each other.
Well, and I guess it's like, you know, it's okay racing. But Max did his thing where it's like, I am going to do this, and if you don't back off, you will crash.
I mean, that's a technique you can use.
I know, but it's annoying.
Yeah, a little bit, but I mean, it's his technique and it works, so I don't think he's going
to
change.
But it forces the drivers to back off. But the only reason that he doesn't do it to Charles is because Charles is like, LOL.
Charles is like, I'm not laughing.
I'm not gonna back up.
If I'm gonna crash, you're gonna crash. Like, you're going down with me. So
yeah,
do what you want.
Yeah,
I love that about him. He's like, you're gonna take it to me, I'll bring it back. And yeah. Luz sort of put into that mentality last year as well, which was why there was so many fractions.
Yeah. I feel like Max thought he could play that game with Carlos, and he was able to because Carlos backed out.
Carlos, I think, is worried about Luz, even though he just signed a 2-year contract.
I think he's tired of crashing, DNFing. So I think he was probably like, you know what? It's better to be third than it is to be in the wall. And I can't blame him for that.
Yeah. You know, to finish first, you first have to finish, you know?
Exactly.
So, so he lost, he took Charles at like lap 9 or something. And I was like, no! But it happened. They have more straight line speed, and that was really more of a benefit of this circuit because there's a really long straight.
There is.
I think it's the longest straight on the calendar, I think.
I think, or it's the second longest one. I can't remember, but it is one of the longest.
It's crazy. Like, and it added nothing to the racing.
I mean, it adds something for Red Bull.
The DRS was like, I mean, it helped with that whole thing. And like, that was another thing. The DRS, like, rather than putting them before like corners, it was after corners. So it was like a weird, like, why would I need the benefit after the corner when that, the corner's where I need to overtaken,
you know?
Like,
yeah,
that was a weird one.
No, I have a lot of questions.
So that was another thing where they're like, probably next time we'll be changing where the DRS zones are. But anyway, so the start of the race, Luz and George had horrible starts.
Really bad. Really bad.
I don't know if it was, George was on hards, so I wonder if it was to do with that. But Luz was on medium, so that wasn't hindering him. I don't think. I wonder if it's the downforce. They like just don't have what they need. The poor boys in maybe. I don't know if they had poor the wheel spin. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, it was really not great. Not at all.
But you know what? They put the work in this race to recover.
They really did. I think something good about this whole weekend that I can say is we saw a lot of good recovery drives from the field. Like I said, we had Esteban, now we have Luz and George from their really bad starts. We have Lance.
Seven Mick had quite good races.
Yeah. And Alex Albon.
Alex was an amazing driver this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, basically started last. Also got points. Come on, man. Yeah. It's that red hair. That's what I love that. But he's like made this bet with the team. Like, Jos Capito was like, I don't know. Or maybe said it was a podium and not of points, but you know. And now I think it's Spain or something. They said, okay, if in Spain you get points, we do it. And then Ted in his notebook was talking to Jos Capito and then shook hands with him and then didn't realize he was agreeing to participate in the hair dyeing bet. So Ted might have red hair after spin if Alex gets points.
I'm down.
You only live once, Ted. Dye your hair red.
It would be funny. Everybody loves Alex so much.
God, everyone loves Alex. Apart from Helmut Marko's.
It's whatever. He likes like two people, Max Verstappen and Christian Horner.
and himself.
And also Lando, weirdly.
That's true. He said, didn't he say that this weekend? Where he was like, the only other one capable of Max's level is Lando. Right?
Yeah. Like, we're all like, what?
We were like, okay.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing in that in any way. Like, absolutely. Lando is going to be excellent. But I was sort of just confused because he's made that comment about Lando before. I'm like, why are you obsessed with Lando?
Christian Horner also is obsessed with Lando. Do you remember when he was talking about, I think it was Drive to Survive, and he was like, and Lando's this young attractive driver and it's threatening Daniel, and we were like, okay Christian, don't make it weird, don't take it there.
They had to make it a little bit weird.
Speaking of Lando though, horrible race for him, huh?
Oh god,
just horrible pit stop that put him out into literally four cars. in the middle of them, and then he got stuck in the DRS train, which was like, they kept cutting to that, and I was like, why? There's no action. They're just following each other. Nothing happened, but then something did happen, and that was, the Mando collection.
So scary crash for
it was what spinning
Lando, like anytime that they spin around and around like that, I get nervous.
And there's cars nearby too, like because like
you don't know where they're gonna bounce back to.
Because Daniel came down a little, came around a little bit after the four cars that Lando was with, but he wasn't so far behind that he would have missed it, and Lando was still moving across the track when Daniel came, and his tire flew off too and was rolling across the track, and Daniel had to swerve over that, so that was scary.
Not great.
Random of a spa incident when he spun out with that last year. That was similar spin. Obviously that was a wet track and this one wasn't, but this one has concrete walls very close to each other, so wasn't scary. But he's fine. And then that was like such an odd incident too, because Pierre was letting Kevin through, I think because Pierre was having like an issue with his car or something, and then just didn't see Lando, and Lando was like, I'll come through with him, and then that's where that happened, I guess. So but Lando was like afterwards in an interview, he was like, if he was slowing down because he was retiring, then this was a stupid incident, or this this was a stupid incident because he shouldn't have like turned into me if he was letting people through. But if he was racing me, then I would say it was just a racing incident.
Yeah.
But they were seen out together at a club after the race, so they kissed and nicked up. So all was well in their
lives. I feel like Lando and Pierre aren't really ones to like hold grudges and be like,
they're both pretty mature, level headed guys, it seems. What else happened in this race?
We did get some good battling between George and Lewis, actually.
That was interesting to me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, like, they're letting them race.
Yeah.
What's this?
Yeah. I think if Lewis was in front, do you think if Lewis was the one in front, it would have been different?
I don't know, because for a while he was in front.
Yeah. There was one point where George took position, but he went a little bit wide off the track, so then he had to give back the position. But Mercedes didn't ask him to do that until they were asked by the race director, which I thought was interesting. Like, they were just going to let it happen, even though they knew he'd done it illegally. And I guess it was sort of like, well, George was probably going to overtake him anyway because he had the newer, faster tires, and we didn't want Lewis to hold him up to risk other people catching up. So,
yeah, Lewis was, end of day, not happy at all.
At all. His radio. Usually when he's like talking to the team, especially last year, I feel like when they're asking him, what's your opinion on this for tires, or how long do you think you can go, or when do you think he pits up, he would be like, I can stay out, or like soon, or like give me these tires. But I was gonna say today, but yesterday or Sunday, because we're recording Tuesday actually. When he was the Bono was like, what do you think about coming in for the pit stop? He was like, I don't know, man, that's your job. You tell me. It was like, whoa, there's some something going on there. Like, that's what the response you get from this.
I think he's frustrated.
I do too. He's had such horrible luck though with pit stops, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Because every time he's pitted, there's been like a crash right after and a safety car, and he's gotten screwed because anybody else gets to.
I mean, for some reason, George like
locks out so well.
He knew, because he was like, nah, let's stay out and wait for a safety
car. And he started on hards, which I think was a strategy because they thought there was going to be a safety car as well.
Yeah. And then there was. He pitted. I think he should have waited, though, because he pitted under the virtual safety car instead of the actual safety car.
Yeah, that's true.
Not a huge difference, because you wouldn't know if it would turn into an actual safety car or not, but he would have cut his time in half more.
Yeah, and then he pitted again onto softs. Oh, no, he just pitted once onto softs, because he was on hards. This was the Seb Nick incident, no? That he pitted after?
Yeah.
doing so. Something like that. That was so sad,
dude. Heartbreaking.
So sad. And then even on the radio when it happened, it was like, no, it's Mike Gordon. It's like, it sounds like he's crying. Oh my God.
He did sound like he was crying. I was like, oh, man.
And it would have been his first points, which is so frustrating. Because I predicted that.
I'm sorry.
Solely for me. Actually, no, I didn't predict that. I predicted Seb first point. I predicted Mick first points last quiz. So that still hurts a little bit. But, you know. For it to be Sebastian, too, that just was like...
That's what hurt.
Oh, my God. Watching the interviews after the race... from Sky, at least. Sebastian was interviewed first, and he's like asked, and he kept like looking around him, like looking over his shoulder, and he was like, "Have you seen Mick? I haven't seen him yet. I wanted to talk to him, you know, and let him know it's fine." And then Mick came into the paddock after he was like glassy eyed and like looked like his lip was trembling, and he was like, he was so sad. He's like, "I just want to see Sebastian and talk to him, you know." And he said, I wrote it down. I think he said something like, I treasure his friendship so much or something. And I was like, why did it have to be them? Like, it was so sad. But I'm sure, like, so they talked it through. Like, Seb would not hold a grudge for that.
No, not against Mick.
No. And then Mick probably was worried that Seb would get... Nah. I don't think he was worried that Seb would give up. Seb would not give up.
Nah.
They're too close. But that was, I think... Maybe it was a good thing that it was each other, because then it's a good learning moment for Mick, you know? Seb can really explain it from his perspective. And what, because I doubt he would get that from another driver. Here's what I was thinking and what I was doing, and here's what I thought you were doing. Explain to me and then have a whole conversation. But, I don't know. Yeah. That was really horrible. You have to let your
mentor explain your mistakes to you sometimes.
It just like... As soon as I saw it, I was like, let that be Lance. And it wasn't.
That's so rude.
I know.
That's so rude.
I felt bad, but I was like, I hope it's not Seb. Because Mick's first point's been ruined by Seb, potentially. Or by himself and by Seb.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sure they're fine. They've probably had a long, deep, meaningful conversation about life.
We'll cry.
But just... But honestly, though, Mick definitely looked like he was going to cry. And I support that, because real men cry.
Oh, wholeheartedly.
Men cry. And
real men cry?
It's a good thing. Okay.
I mean, personally, I wouldn't want to cry in front of the press. The camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
George, remember George did when he scored his points with Williams?
Well, that was happy crying. It's different.
That was nice, though. Happy that crying, sad crying. Still crying. Cry you will.
That's true. That was emotional, man.
That was so nice to see such like heartfelt moments like that. I hope we get to see more. Like, I hope we get to see Alex Albon on the podium before this season.
Sobbing. I feel like Alex doesn't really cry, though. I think he'd just be like giggly.
Giggly, yeah. Maybe like the Williams team members would cry after years.
Probably, yeah.
And Alex would be like, Lily, come over here. She was cool this weekend. Alex's girlfriend, Lily, was here this weekend. That's another thing. Golf culture. There's a big golf culture in Miami, right? It's
true.
Is it where the U.S. thing is? What's called the U.S. Open? Is that what it's called?
There is one, but I don't know if it's in Miami or not.
I have no idea. I think there's a big golf tournament in Miami.
Okay.
I have no idea. But that sounds right. But Lily is an LPGA professional golfer, so it's cool to see her this weekend as well.
Yeah.
And she was wondering about the Williams guys and Alex's helmet or something, which is cool. She's just cool. Like, Alex and Lily, they're great together. They balance each other very well. They're both super nice people. So good for them.
Yeah. Both athletes. It's cool.
Yeah, they probably understand each other very well in that aspect. But yeah, Alex, the red hair, is doing something for it. He says when he takes his balaclava off after the race, it's like covered in red, so it looks like he's like been decapitated. He said, all the red dye looking into his white balaclava.
He's so goofy. It's
fun. He is. I love having him back. I mean, we were so hyped for him coming back, and I think we were right to do it.
Absolutely.
I will not step back from that. We were 100% for it, and I commit.
Oh my gosh, no, it's incredible. I'm very happy.
So good for Alex. Sure. Points every race, please, because that would be great for the moves.
Yes.
Was it you that said Aston Martin was going to be last or second last?
Oof, hard to say. But I think second to last.
I was going to say, because with the way Alex is going,
I mean, I would be relieved if Williams, like, listened to my predictions.
Yeah, you said... Well, I don't have it. I just have mine. Never mind. I said Aston Martin Williams, 7th. I thought I had yours on the grid, but yours isn't.
I don't know. Williams still got 3 points. Aston Martin is 6, and Haas is 15.
Yeah.
And I know that I said Alfa Romeo was gonna not be P5. So.
Dude, Alfa Romeo is such a cool, like, outlier for us to have, I think.
And I'm happy for Fred. Like,
yes, I love Fred. Lewis doesn't know who he is. Oh no, that was France, right? Which one France did he toast. Not? Toast. France toast is like France. Toast. Oh, the disrespect.
Lewis is so out of touch sometimes, I feel like.
For sure. But
he's like, oh, you get points?
And for P10, is this a points position, guys? Yes, Lewis. You get 1 point.
He was like, that's not a real point position.
What a loser. I'm sure he knows now that it's a points position.
He's like, oh man, I don't know what it's like to not win.
Which is kind of a cool thing to like to put.
I mean, honestly, like, no, but like, honestly, his whole career, like, he kind of won a lot in his entire career.
He hasn't got a season without winning awards.
No.
Which could be the season this year.
Let's say it. But you're probably.
At least he's had a podium every season.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he just needs to have a win, which I don't doubt could happen.
Stranger things have happened, honestly.
George was in the podium in Spa last year, so let's
see. Yeah, that was crazy.
So, you know, you never know.
Legitimate? I don't know.
What else happened? Sergio had a weird issue, did he not, with his power unit?
Yeah.
And it was like Bahrain, where Max was like, something's wrong, and the team were like,
fine. Just get it together. And just like, I love it. They just gaslight their drivers and everything's fine. And they're like, no, the car is not working. And they're like, no, it's fine.
They were like, Sergio, it's just because you don't have the toe. You don't have the toe anymore. He's like, no, I'm losing 4 seconds. It can't just be the toe. And they were like, oh, maybe not.
I guess I'll look.
And then they were like, oh,
Sergio was like very.
Sergio's.
Sergio was super like specific too. He was like, you have to look at this and you will know what I'm talking about. And
I would like, listen to everyone he said, because Sergio doesn't seem like the type to complain at all.
No, just, like, he knew it was happening. And I was like, yeah.
And by the way, he's a tire management king. For those of you who don't know, I'm sure you all do, but so I was like, it can't be the tires because it's Sergio. And it wasn't. He did have a problem. He was fighting it. But they managed to fix it. Kind of. He was still... Didn't Christian say something like, in an interview after the race, he was like, he lost 20 kilowatts of power and he was still faster than Carlos. I was like, shut up, Christian.
I don't know what he gets from that. Like,
why does he have to say that? You know?
It's just like where do you get off? Like, what?
How does that turn you on, Chris?
Why are you to be like, he's like a straight up like hater sometimes.
Yeah. He loves like other people failing.
He's like a sore winner, but also a loser. Like, it's a very weird, toxic combination.
He just loves people suffering. Oh, yeah, but Sergio.
Also share the pain. Misery loves company. I mean,
wow. Right. Anyway, Carlos, I think, might have had issues if Sergio didn't have issues, you know? I think Sergio would have been Carlos's issue.
I mean, he even was for, like, a hot second.
Yeah, until his engine broke.
Yeah. I mean, nonetheless, I was really happy for Carlos to be...
After two DNFs and a vulgar...
Yeah, to be on the podium again.
It wasn't really what nice. We wanted. But maybe it's because he's saving it for Spain. And that's what I'm believing. That's what I'm sticking to, you know?
Spain. Do you feel like... I don't know. Like... For some reason, this season feels very odd to me, and like we're going to places we shouldn't be yet.
Like Spain, or are you like Miami?
Like, I just feel like we're all over the place. I don't know. Like, I feel like
I don't know why we went to Europe and then left, went to Miami, and then never went back to Europe.
Yeah, and then we were in the Middle East, and then we went to Europe, and then we went to America, and then we're going back to Europe.
It's like, why can't you have also Miami in a similar time period?
I was just like confused. Like, why can't
we're you go
jumping like, around so much?
Why can't you go like Miami, Canada, Austin? You know,
yeah.
But Canada's right? Always towards the end when they go to Brazil and Mexico.
And I mean, Austin's always towards the end too. I don't know. It just feels like a weird jump around. Like, I don't feel like Spain should be next. I don't know who should be next, but it doesn't
Spain,
feel like
Spain. Spain is always like early in the season, but it feels like an odd position.
Right? I don't know. Maybe I'm just losing my mind.
Like, if we went from Imola to Spain, I think I would have been like, oh yeah. But it was the Miami in the middle of it. It was awful.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. That was really the race. I mean...
Yeah, I remember Charles saying at one point, he was like, this car is so hard to drive, and he was like so well. I remember, I think it was Crofty who was like, this is him with a car that's hard to drive. I hate to see him in a car that's easy to drive. It's like, yeah.
Even I think that was Carlos sometimes too, where he's like, this has been my worst weekend, and he was like, on the phone. What's a good weekend, Carlos? Show us.
Perfectionism. Winning is a good weekend.
I don't think we mentioned Kevin DNF.
Did it mention what?
That Kevin DNF.
Oh yeah.
That was because he made contact with Lance, right?
I think so.
So the Aston Martins had like a great start to the weekend and a horrible end. But Lance made it back up in points again.
So I'm not really. No, Lance.
Seb would have been ahead of Lance, I think.
Yeah, both he and Pierre would have knocked Lance out of the points, but when and Mick, when three of them all and Kevin, yeah, he was able to pop right up.
So maybe Lance didn't have the race we think he did, he just got lucky.
I mean,
but hey, luck's a good thing to have in this sport, so good for him.
Yeah.
Lewis needs some luck, so I'd love to hand that over to him.
Yeah, he's gonna have to make his own luck.
Yeah. Nothing much.
I mean, this race did have, I don't remember if you said this or not, but it did have the second most overtakes of any races so far.
45 overtakes. It's just a shame we didn't get to see any of them.
I just overall was underwhelmed by this whole experience.
It was overpromised and underdelivered.
Yeah, I just felt thrown together. Disappointing. It doesn't feel like a real F1 race. But I think this is also me being kind of like a snob, and I have that like sport purity attitude where it's like, we don't need all this. Yeah, my elitism. Like, we don't need everything to be so flashy.
Yeah. I think that was a lot of people's issues with it. It's so like flashy, which Formula 1 is flashy, like Monaco is literally like the epitome of flashy, right?
I mean, it is, but it isn't.
But it's like, such a different type of flashy than American flashy.
It's a historic flash.
It's old money flashy. Miami is new money flashy.
There you go. I mean, I think there's also just something to be said about like a really simple race like Imola.
Sure.
Or Austria. Like, it's a really no fuss.
That was something that people were saying too, is like, you got the Tifosi, like, camping out in the mud in Imola, there's like, wearing, like, cagoules and rain boots and, like, getting...
It's and then you go very down to earth.
And you go to Miami, and it's, like, every seat is in a club, apart from, like, two grandstands.
It's
tickets are more expensive than paddock passes to Monaco. It's like, what?
Exactly. It's ridiculous. What is the, like, No, like, I feel like there's some tracks that are super down to earth, like Austria or Hungary, where they literally climb up into the mountains straight up. Yeah. Or, like, I guess they're more hills instead
Styrian hills.
Yeah. To literally stand up there, chill up there, and watch the race below them. Like,
and even that's Monaco, a whole
different level.
Even Monaco, I believe, like, grandstand tickets are free for residents.
Yeah, I think you're right. And students of the University of Monaco.
So even then, and they have a royal family attending stuff. Like, I mean, Miami had Michelle Obama, which is kind of the same thing in America.
The closest we're going to get, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just oversaturated with celebrity and
underperformed.
But,
yeah.
So that was that. George got asked what he liked about the race or the circuit, and he was like, I like that it's in Miami, and I like the weather.
We're like, same.
And then he said the tarmac was atrocious to drive off of the race. It's worse than anywhere else he's driven. And the chicane, that was another thing. There's a chicane. I also thought the chicane was a bad idea because, like, it looked, it's supposed to slow people down, right? To make overtakes more possible. But you said it ruined the circuit. Like, if that chicane was just a one big round corner overtaking, it would have been it's so much better for the race. So that was one thing. But there's always going to be edits to the circuit because it's new.
For sure.
And it's possible to edit it because it's in a car park, so they can do anything. But yeah, so to finish off, let's look at the standings. Ferrari and Red Bull now in the 6 points with people. So that hurts.
What you said to me the other day was correct, and that it is definitely something to say that every race Max is finished, he has won.
I didn't think you were going to say that. Yeah, I mean, I hate to, like, play into that every race he finishes and wins, you know, conversation. But it's true.
Facts.
But it's true. Facts. So far. And he has done some impressive overtaking, I have to say. I mean, he hasn't.
No, I don't think anyone can argue that Max is not a good driver or anything like that.
It seems like he's, I have to say, more mature this season. It's like, you know, the old win a world championship and grow up thing that happens to Formula One drivers, like with Seb and Lewis and Fernando. Even Fernando less so, but no. But with Lewis and Seb,
it took him a while.
Like after Seb's born, Lewis after Nico left, it was like, oh, they've become adult men with things that they can think about outside of racing. It's like, I wonder if Max, you know what I was thinking about actually, which might be a little bit too like into his personal life, is that I wonder if now that he has a championship, he feels like he's now out of the claws of his dad, because that was his dad's goal thing, right? It was making him world champion, and now that he is world champion, maybe Max feels he can break free from that and be his own racer, and now that he has the title and the respect that comes with it.
I think yes and no. I think part of it, he did everything that his dad wanted him to.
Yeah.
So you feel like kind of a relief to that you didn't disappoint your father. But I think also it seems like from like what we have seen about their dynamic and their relationship, is it's not like he's ever gonna be able to grow out of that.
Like I feel like it's too
just sad.
I mean, that's just like why you need therapy, you know.
Yeah, which I don't think they believe in, frankly. But you know, I hope it's given him, you know, a new lease on life that he can step away from the clutches.
I mean, I wonder if he even feels like more pressure now to win another one though, because maybe his dad is like, you didn't really win that one, like, legitimately. Like,
could be.
I mean, obviously would never say that publicly, but
we don't know what we won by him. So.
No.
Yeah. I feel sorry for him in many ways. But at the same time, I'm like, you're talented, so, and you know it, so, but I feel bad for you in other ways, but
yeah, No, it's not a, it's a, everything's a gray area, really.
But anyway, I mean, I'd love to see him win another championship. Legitimately. Because I believe in him that he can do that.
For sure.
I'd love to see it happen for him so that he can have that pressure taken off him as well as being illegitimate, quote unquote, champion.
But yeah, because that's not fair to live with that.
No, and it's not nice for him. Like, I like, he claims that he doesn't, like, care, but I'm sure he does. He just admits it. Like, I wouldn't go around publicly saying, like, yeah, I won this, but I didn't mean it. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I won it. I wouldn't go around admitting that it wasn't legit. I feel bad on the inside, though. I'm sure he feels, like, slightly unaccomplished in that sense. But he did literally do enough to win that championship. Just the final race was playing into losing hands.
It just tainted the whole season, really.
And we can talk about that forever, which we have on me.
Yeah, we have.
But anyway, so the rest of the standings. Mercedes, 95. They're sitting third.
Good for them. Surprisingly, honestly.
Yeah. Still a good 40 points off. Oh, 40-ish points. Yeah. McLaren are half of that. 46, interestingly. For Mercedes to be so off, it's interesting that they have such a lead on the next midfield team.
Yeah.
Which called Mercedes a midfield. There you go. Alfa Romeo, 31 points, so closer.
Crazy.
Alpine, 26. Alpine and Alfa, I think, are going to be two battles. AlphaTauri is surprisingly this year that it's not as good as I think it would have been.
Yeah.
16 points. Haas, 15. Mm-hmm. So they're only a point apart. Aston Martin, 6 points. 3. Drivers' Championship. Charles is 104 points now. He's broken the 100. So good for him already. Breaking the 100. Max is at 85. So if he gets a win, it would take him up to 100. And if he gets fastest lap 101, Charles would still be in the lead if he was on the podium. So it would take a couple of wins, I think, for Max to overtake Charles.
Yeah.
Sergio's now,
Charles, like, DNFs or something. Like,
yeah. Sergio's now P3. Took that from George. 66 points. So he's about a win behind Max, a win then a pitch.
Yeah. I hope Sergio gets a win this season.
He did. Well,
did he?
No. He was on the podium. I don't know why I thought he won
the
race. He
got the only winners we've had this season are
Max and Charles.
Max and Charles.
He got a pole position. That's what I'm thinking
about. Yeah. Yeah?
Yes. He has. And it was the first, he was the first Mexican driver to get pole position. That was where it's like a bit cool. Wasn't it Sadi who got pole position?
I don't remember.
I think it was. Yeah. It was Sadi. Anyway, because we were like second race and Sergio was leading the championship from Max.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would still love to see. Come on, Sergio. Anyway, so George, 59 points. So not far behind Sergio, actually. Only 5 points off. Carlos sitting in fifth. 53, like half of Charles's total, basically.
I mean, he DNF'd twice.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll even out at some point. Lewis, then next, 36. Lando only 1 point behind at 35. Battle of the Brits. Then Valtteri Bottas, 30 points. And then Alfa Romeo, bro. And then Esteban King. Silent King, Silent Killer, doing it for the top up. And then Kevin runs out the top 10,
wow.
15 points in P10. Kevin Magnussen in a Haas in the top 10. Valtteri Bottas in an Alfa Romeo in the top 10.
It is wild.
Ahead of McLaren's, or McLaren Daniel, ahead of Fernando Alonso. You know, crazy. But anyway. We have talked enough about this race. This is going to be a long episode, but we can make our predictions really quick for Spain because we did talk about Spain a little bit already, so we don't need to touch too much of it. So let's move on.
Let's do it.
In Sector 3, we make our predictions for the Spanish Grand Prix.
Okay, so let's look on to Spain,
yeah,
to Barcelona. and see, let's predict the future of that race.
Well, I have to say, first of all, to congratulate you.
Thank you.
Because you accurately predicted the podium this weekend.
I'm surprised that I did that, but...
Which was our first, as a Speed Truck Championship, first accurate podium of the season, so...
Hey!
Round of applause.
Thank you.
I have to say, coming off of the back of predicting Lando on the podium in Imola to predicting an accurate podium in Miami, it's looking good for you, dude. You're taking the early lead here in the championship.
Yes, I am. See if I can keep it that way.
Well, I, for some reason, decided that Fernando Alonso was going to have a good race in Miami and put him on the podium, which was absurd.
Yeah, that was not the best idea, but I support it.
I was thinking there was probably going to be more crashes than there was, and that Fernando was going to have a better weekend and be higher in the midfield because he's been pretty out there.
Fair.
So,
fair.
But Esteban took all his power this weekend, so...
Truth.
But there you go. I did get Kevin Magnussen DNFing, right?
And
you also got Pierre, right, DNFing. You also got Max, right, on pole. And you also got Sergio top five. So,
Fabs.
Look at you go.
Look at me go.
And everything, right? So I'm worried now. But I don't know if I've done the right thing with my Spanish predictions because, again, I'm pulling my Carlos Sainz wild card and putting him as the winner. That's my new thing. And I'm doing it until he wins. And I'm hoping it's going to be Spain because it's his home race. And it would be sick to see him win his first win in his home race.
It would be.
Sick. So I put him P1. Who have you put P1?
I put Carlos too.
Yes! We love it.
I just wanted him to, you know, in his home race, like I wanted it to happen, so.
Yeah.
I did it, yeah.
Let's have a siesta. No, a fiesta. Maybe a siesta afterwards, because it will be a fiesta when Carlos wins. I love it in Spanish, a nap and a party are so close to each other.
They happen so close to each other.
Yeah,
you
take your afternoon siesta, you have a fiesta, you go for a siesta, you know, back to back. Sandwich a fiesta with a siesta.
You have to. Yeah.
Anyway, so P2, I wanted to keep it interesting, but not so interesting, but interesting enough. So I put it with Max.
Okay. I put Charles.
Wait, we love a Ferrari one too.
Yeah.
I support it. I wish it will come true for you because I would love to see Charles Leclerc
too.
I put him third.
I kind of figured. I put Max V3.
Well, look at us being similar, but not.
Yeah.
My autocorrect keeps trying to correct Leclerc to Leclerc.
Leclerc.
Pole position, I put Charles, but I think he's going to have like a weird pit stop or something in the race, or something's going to break.
Aww.
So, like, you know, when he was going to win in Baku, Bahrain, and then
yeah.
He's like, something is wrong with the engine, like maybe something like that. And they'll be like, let Carlos through, and then hold off Max, but then Max will get through. So, I put Charles in pole. How about you?
I put pole position, I put Max.
I can see that happening. Well, here's the thing, right, is that historically, Spain has been a Red Bull circuit, and it's where Max got his first win in the sport. So it's a track he does very well, and he knows very well. I mean, they all know this track very well, but Max is like a pro at this track, clearly. But I'm thinking Jenson Button, who I trust as a source of information as a former driver, using all his knowledge, decided that he thinks Spain's gonna flip flop into being a Ferrari truck this year based on the new cars. So, fingers crossed that he's right and that we can get our predictions. But I think Red Bull and Ferrari are so close.
Yeah.
In performance,
they are.
They're just little differences, like.
Very slight.
Slow corners Ferrari are better at, but straight line speed Mercedes. They're probably better at, not Mercedes this year anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe 2019. But that's a past time that we struggle to deal with more. Anyway, fastest lap, I put Carlos.
I put Charles.
Charles has been getting fastest lap pretty consistently this season.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been doing good.
Max got it this week,
yeah. Yeah.
He can't have, you know, Charles can't have everything.
Meh.
Anyway, DNFs, I have one. I'll go after you because I have one other one for
you. Okay. I have Kevin and Yuki.
I think that's literally who I predicted last week.
Wait, really?
Okay. I think so.
I don't know why. I just kind of was like, okay, what's the vibe here?
No, I did Kevin and Charles. I think I did Yuki in Kevin and Mike.
Yeah.
I feel bad for you. You already have, like, a cricket. Kevin is, like, a sucker for the Indian, like, even when it's not spoiled. So sad. I put the good old teammate buddies, George and Nicholas.
Aw, cute. In the wall.
In the wall, maybe together. Aw. I mean, I don't know why. Every time I went to type a name for DNF, my fingers kept going blasted. So, I don't know. I don't want him to end his top five streak. So, I hope I'm wrong. My gut said it was going to happen. But so far, my gut this season hasn't been good. So, but let's see if he's pretty safe. But I think... I wouldn't say it's outrageous to put him as a DNF choice.
No, I didn't want to do it again because I feel like I do it a lot. So I was like, okay, calm down. Okay, so I put dry weather.
Me too.
Because, then...
It has rained in Spain before, but I don't even know this.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plane.
Go off the track,
and not on the F1 track, okay?
Yeah, Tim, do you remember that one year we were like... There's literally a force field around the circuits because whenever it rained, it would miss them. But this year, we've been pretty lucky with the circuits.
Yeah, it's cool.
Climate change in it.
In it.
Shout out to Seb also for wearing a shirt and having his helmet that Miami was going to be the first grumpy in the world.
That was funny. It was also just funny.
It was funny. He's like, this sport is ridiculous. Think of my head.
And then I put two safety cars.
I put one because I don't think Spain's a very safety car rating circuit.
You could be right.
I think it's more of a BSC potential because it's like unlike a street circuit, it's got more access points for recovery vehicles. So it could be safety car. But also I think it's less likely the cars will get into a state where it will need a safety car. But we'll see.
Fair.
Maybe when Latifi takes Georgia, it could be messy, you know.
And then random predictions. I have Fernando Alonso top 8.
Look, you can leave it in Fernando after this.
Okay, but Spaniard, Barcelona, I had to do it. I had to support him. And then I also put George top 5 because I want him to continue that streak.
Okay. Antithesis of me.
Probably just jinxed him, but...
I put, because I want to keep this streak alive, Alex points. I would love to see a third race in a row.
Yes.
Where he gets points, keep that red hair going, have the whole team in, like, circus climbs.
Yes.
Get Ted in on it. Yes. And I also put Lewis top 5, because I want to see that happen for him. You know?
Yes.
George took it away from him this week. Just like, but I think we could see Lewis actually have a good time in Spain because he has been very successful in Spain.
Lewis has been successful everywhere.
There is that one time though that him and Nico like took each other immediately. I think that's literally the same. No, that was the race that Max had his first win. Nico and Lewis took each other out at the start, and then Max is like, "See ya, wins the race."
Oh my god, Lewis and Nico.
I miss them.
Those were the days, you know?
I love that. Any opportunity Nico Rosberg gets to talk about Lewis. he always has to say something.
A little bit of tea there.
Let me tell you. And it's always sort of like kind of juicy, but also like, is that really what happens, Nico? Or are you just making that up? Great.
It's hearsay.
It's objection, hearsay. Objection, relevance. Objection, non-answer. Like all of the above.
There you go.
Yeah. I love you. Yeah. I've been like thinking in like objections after watching the Johnny Depp.
It's just legal jargon.
Just legal jargon.
Jargon? Jargon.
Jargon.
Jargon. Oh my goodness.
All right. Anyway.
What a weekend.
What a weekend to forget.
Yeah.
Or remember for its ludicrous nature.
True. I'll be happy to see it change next year. Please. Please. I'm looking forward to Spain, going back to our roots.
I was going
to
say, at least put the tech pro down next year for yeah. safety.
At least for safety. Yeah, jeez.
But anyway, yeah, looking forward to Spain, as you said.
Yeah, going back to our roots.
Yes, going back to our roots in Spain.
Yeah. I mean, just like F1 historically, like we got some good roots there, and I don't feel like it'll be a debacle. It's reliable.
Well, yeah, so. It's reliable for usually being like kind of boring roads.
Yeah. At least you don't need a police escort to get to the podium, and you don't have to wear a football helmet on the podium, so. I'm not going to get over that, and that's okay.
That
We've
so
accepted
strange.
It.
That's so strange.
We've accepted that.
And then Max gets two. He gets one, and then he gets the Pirelli one, and he gets the special one, the white one.
Hey, good lordy.
I was surprised they didn't have Tom Brady on that podium having those trophies.
Yeah, I was expecting them to get a trophy from Tom Brady.
There was somebody there that was an ex-quarterback of the Dolphins, I think, that handled.
But not Tom Brady.
It was Tom Brady. So.
Well, the same.
He was like, maybe it was like, I refuse because Moses isn't on the podium and he's my friend.
Vibes.
Kings, 7-time world champions in their own sports. Well, I don't know if you can call Tom Brady a world champion. An American
champion.
Although they like to call Series America a world, like the World Series, the baseball championship.
Yeah.
Only America.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Anyway, Formula One is a world legal championship. And
it's bizarre.
To end on it, there is rumors that they're gonna bring in South Africa soon.
Good.
So good for good. Them.
Cool.
It will finally be a world champion. And then they'll just have to hit up Antarctica on the board.
Yeah.
We have a nice race. I mean, extreme heat, yeah. Come on, Formula One. Just put some snow tires on.
There you go. Just add some chains.
Chains to the tires. Oh, dear.
That would be a wild time.
We would need extreme downforce. They'd have to bring back Kimi Räikkönen to get everyone ice rallying.
Left. He'd be like, all right. Quick lesson for you.
But he wouldn't say anything. He'd just show you. Because he doesn't.
He would just be like, go drive.
He'd be like, right. Accelerate. Gas. Left.
I mean, Bottas can also teach
dude,
it.
Dude,
so.
Valtteri would win that race. 100%.
You got some mentors there. Be good.
100. Valtteri would win that race.
Yeah.
Undeniable.
That would be funny.
Anyway.
Or some tires with like spokes, like cleats.
Cleat tires. Yeah, they're playing soccer.
Yeah.
Rugby. Oh my god, rugby is a good sport. America needs, next we need to bring rugby to America. They have it, but it's not huge.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Fair.
Also, shout out to having women's soccer as your more elite soccer or football as I call it.
Oh, for sure.
Rather than appreciate that. Shout out Megan Rapinoe in hockey.
Shout out who what?
Megan Rapinoe, the captain.
You overestimate me.
She's it's quite, okay. She's quite a big name in media last year. I wouldn't have known who she was, but she was quite a big name.
I appreciate it, but you overestimate me.
Hey, look at me knowing more about an American team.
There you go.
You
already.
Next, we need to have you do an American movie. When we go to the Oscars, you need to give some American trivia for us.
I don't know what American trivia I know, but
I'll think of something. I'll do something for Silverstone.
I know more like random facts about like marine biology, but
that could have been something to talk about in Miami.
Marine biology.
Save the dolphins.
Global warming.
Anyway, yeah. Guys, we talked forever and we'd like to hear you talk instead because it's a parrot. Honestly, so do reach out to us on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and we have an email address. I didn't say the at, it's at speedtrackpod. Email address is speedtrackpod@gmail.com. If you have a longer form inquiry or anything that doesn't fit in a DM or a comment, yes, you want to get to us. And sometimes when we have time, which we haven't recently actually,
no,
we like to run Twitter spaces where we get to actually hear your voices and like to talk to you guys or have you guys talk to each other rather than just us all the time because we hate listening to ourselves. No, we don't. Mm-hmm. We love listening to ourselves. That's why we have a podcast. I'm kidding.
I mean,
I don't know. In some ways, you have to admit it's a little bit narcissistic to have a podcast.
Of course it is.
100%. But you have to like believe that you're worth listening to. But we love hearing you guys because you definitely have some different and better opinions than us on most occasions. Do get involved when we have them. We do post when we're going to be having them on our social media. So keep your eye out. Follow us for them.
And if you would like to get involved financially, we would love your support and donations. And you can head to anchor.fm/speed-trap-pod and hit that donate button. We would really, really appreciate that. And it allows us to bring you more and better content, hopefully buy Sophie a new mic.
Yeah, I forgot to say at the start of this episode, my mic is broken. I have it sitting in front of me just for...
The look, you gotta keep the look.
I have to keep the aesthetic up, you know. But my mic broke. I need to get probably a new cable with it. Thanks for supporting us because we have enough in our funds for me to buy a new cable. But it would mean the world to us if you could keep supporting us.
It would. No, it really would. Alrighty. Thank you guys. Take care.
Oh, look, there's no race next week, right?
No, I think there is.
I don't think it goes straight to Spain because I was going to say look at the part 2.
It does not go straight to Spain. I was thinking it did because Monica.
No, so there's a gap, right? So guys, just to last thing, if you enjoyed part 1 of our Team Histories episode of our new format Reverse Gear where we look into the history of Formula 1, keep an eye out next week for part 2 where we will do the next 5 teams.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Speed Trap Podcast.
As always, we appreciate your support.
To stay involved in the conversation, reach out to us on social media at Speed Trap Pod.
Speed Trap's official music was created and produced by Boxed Okami. You can find more of his work on Instagram at Boxed Okami.
See you next week.